Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show for episode 86 here of Court of Swords. I think we're all pretty tired. That was kind of a
tough exhausting.
Yeah.
It was an exhausting episode.
It really was.
I would just like to know if you guys have any more stupid animals you'd like me to roleplay, please just let's start a list so that I can begin to prepare. We've done sloths, we got monkeys, whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a thing now.
The monkeys were
good. You don't tell me you don't hit. You don't hate it, right? Because
no, it was really so fun. Good. Yeah, okay. It was fun. I love that. Like the whole thing about that spell was that it gives you the ability to literally understand what they're saying. So it's like, okay, what would it sound like if they were shouting to each other, but like with no inference and no slang, no anything? And it just that's the funny thing is there are these big dumb monkeys.
And ow, there's a arrow in my face.
Yeah.
Now I have been struck by a sword.
Yeah. He's killing me. Thank you. Help me out. No, I'm also being killed.
Thank you for that, Zeke. I appreciate it.
So
I appreciate
good.
That. It was good. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I felt like, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, and maybe that's the question here, but I felt like the first 2 hours of RP was like really good and really like the time just went by so fast. I didn't feel it. Time passed slower for me in the second half. I don't know if that was because of combat or what, but I felt like that first part just went by so fast. It didn't feel like 2 hours whatsoever. Maybe the pre-show was a little bit long and that's why, because we were at like 40 minutes, but it was fun. I really enjoyed the first half. I think this group, RP-wise, it has its conflicts, but we're all playing it in a fun way, so there's no one's upset or struggling at all. Like we're just enjoying it, which is definitely shows, I think.
I honestly feel like this is a within the game, this is a tighter squad. Meaning like I feel less like people are going for their own thing and we're working more together with this particular group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I would say with that. Or at least we all have the same, like character-wise, we all have the same purpose for living at this point. I think like Dan definitely has ulterior motives. I think Yoji, I know Yoji has some ulterior motives here. Max or Shadrick is kind of just, I feel like along for the ride in some way. Like he wants to figure out what's going on with this this artifact and figure out where that's going.
Yeah, The thing with Shadrick is he's the one that kind of is like the outsider that's like, this could be something dangerous. I need to keep an eye on these things.
Right? Yeah.
Like he knows that there's a greater threat that could be in play.
Totally.
It's a cool position to be in.
I have some things that I haven't shared about Shadrick as well, but
yeah,
those will come to fruition when they make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. I like it.
I also think that there's this air of like, who's going to fuck me over first? Amongst the group, like I keep saying, like Shadrick, did you bring these fucking bears here? Like, what's going on with this stuff? And you're like, well, how did I know the Colton send these to kill me? Like, what's going on here? So it's real fun to role play that type of stuff.
Well, and I also love like playing against that, playing against your like you do like everything about Yoji or most things about Yoji is pretty literal,
yeah,
pretty like straightforward and stuff like that. And I love fucking with you, like with the whole bell thing, like, oh God, it's coming. Oh, you know, like that kind of stuff. I love playing off of that because I know it just pisses Yoji off, but there's an endearment there.
Yeah. I think he agrees with that too. I'm having a lot of fun too, playing like this married parent or married couple deal with Jadara.
Oh, it's so good.
Like we got to figure out exactly, I don't know if it's going to ever be revealed, but we got to figure out exactly what happened between the two of us.
Yeah.
Cause it's building to a point of climax, I think pretty soon.
Well, and I love that that's not normally the tension you get between like RPG characters in D&D, right? And normally it's like, our relationship is built on this like conflict and violence and like frustration and like worrying about life or death situations. But I love that it seems like Yoji and Jadara are just sniping at each other because they're like, no, you suck. Shut up. I hate you. And then like, they storm away. Like it feels like so much, like you said, like there's like drama, which is really funny because it's so out of place.
Yeah.
In a party of like, you know, murder hobos.
So right.
I really like it too. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I can't speak for Dan, but I'm enjoying that aspect a lot. It's a lot of
fun. Yeah, I like the dynamic of us sparring at each other, like as a couple would, inappropriately at times.
Right.
Yeah. Now is not the time. We're in the middle of fighting monster.
Yeah, it's good fun.
It's pretty good.
Shadrick's definitely playing like the odd man. Just being like, what would you two stop? Like, just fucking please. And then we have a blind person in our group in Kalimat, which I think Zeke is playing beautifully. And making the right calls, whether they might not be the right combat calls, but you know, they're definitely the right RP calls.
I had to find out somehow, and I'm glad I found out like what the bell does and stuff like that, and how to use it to my advantage and stuff. And I'll tell you, like, doing the whole blind thing and looking through like all the things that you cannot do anymore really forces you to like, how can I be resourceful and a useful member of this group during like a tense or battle situation? How can I turn this spell to my advantage? Or like, well, like the comprehend languages thing, I didn't know if it was going to do anything or if it was going to work, but it actually turned out to give us some useful information, which is something I would have never done if I had sight.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I mentioned it, like I think maybe two episodes. How long have you, I guess two episodes ago, right? That's how long you've been without eyes?
Three. Is this our third episode on this arc? Yeah, is the third. This is the third episode because this is the second full one. It happened about a quarter of the way through the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like two and a half, two and three quarters, yeah.
It's definitely fun trying to find like ways to play around being blind and you know, having a character that's not like perfect or like tip-top shape, I guess is how I'll phrase it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I've been toying around with the idea like I'm waiting for a good moment because apparently our resident infomeister Dan said I could change, like he reminded me that I could change a spell like once per level up, and I still haven't done that yet. Hmm. So I'm waiting for an opportune moment to change a spell perhaps to something that pertains to my current condition or predicament or whatever.
Yeah.
I always like it when spells or something like fit RP wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Max, how's episode two of playing a spellcaster?
Better. Not that they were effective today, but eventually were. It eventually worked out that I could polymorph myself into the Savager. Felt real useless there for a bit. I was just like, great, I'm nearly dead and I haven't done anything. I've wasted a spell slot. I'm awesome. Like,
yeah.
I was also getting just
hearing the apes like talk about, I am grabbing the spiky one. He is painful.
Yeah. Spellcasters are a lot to like, I guess, take in, especially starting out at level 8 or 9 or whatever level you are.
Well, it's the two biggest, most like complicated things you can do, right? Play a higher level spellcaster and shapeshift.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of stuff all at once.
Yeah, shapeshifting is definitely a pain in the ass when it comes to understanding it all.
That's going to be one of my bigger things, is just to, I have to lay out in a way that makes sense to me, probably in a different doc or something like that just has all of my options. Because there's, you know, there's the Circle of the Land spells. There's my regular spells that I already have to go through. I have my cantrips on top of that. There's a lot of different like extra spells. Probably would be beneficial. Someone was saying I should just talk to Dan and go through like a good spell, which I might do. I don't know. Or Adam, but Adam's really busy. Yeah. You're both busy. Never mind. I won't talk to either of you.
Just honestly, you can like Google like Treebeard Druid or something like that. And there's giant guides that exist for like.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll get it going. It'll take some shows, but
yeah,
I don't think I'm doing completely horrible. And I'm not above like asking. I've asked chat a couple times, like suggestions and stuff for people that just know good spells that are good.
Literally just type in Treebeard Druid 5e and it'll tell you all the best spells ranked by like tiers.
I just linked you an updated Nworld forum post about playing a land druid and some of the like cool stuff you can do with
it. All right, I'm just gonna look at I'll study that some of the stuff.
And it's broken down, and they'll rank all the spells for you. Yep. So it'd be like, this is the S tier, this is your A tier, these are your B tiers, this is all your shit tier spells, never use these.
There's
lots of good analysis in there.
Totally.
It was fun though playing a Savager. That was definitely cool.
Yeah, I think if we didn't have that Savager, we started that fight and I was like, we're going to die, especially when Kali did, when all three of us failed and all three of the monsters succeeded and we took 24 damage. I was just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
God, I was so fucking upset. We all three of the people I didn't want failed their constitution, and then all the fucking apes made it. It was just, God damn it. When I saw those rolls coming out, I was so pissed.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I was worried there for sure.
By the way, go back and look at the video.
Sorry, and I was just saying I had fun hitting that 40 damage. That was sick.
Oh yeah, that was
a lot. It's very hard to get bored. It's hard to get bored playing a druid because you can just be like, what haven't I shapeshifted into, or what haven't I polymorphed myself into yet?
Totally.
Do I want to be in this fight?
Yeah. What were you gonna say, Zeke? Go back to the VOD and look at what?
Oh yeah, just go back to the video and watch both me and Adam react to those three saves.
Oh yeah.
It's just it's like the drama faces. It's like happy, sad thing. Like, you put us next to each other. I'm like, fuck. And he's like, eh, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What else was going on? I'm trying to think. Like, the beginning was just so RP heavy, but it was more, I guess it culminated in kind of Kalimat attuning with the bell.
I love that worked. Yeah. I love that actually, like,
I mean, that was a classic example of it never occurring to me, and then the players being like, "Hey, what if we did this?" And I was like, "Oh, of course. Let me just make some notes about what that would do." You keep talking. I'm kind of listening. Like, and chat called me out too. They're like, "Oh, Adam, he was not ready for this. He did not think that was possible." I was like, "Nope, it is. It's fine. I'll figure it out. That's cool. I can work on my
feet." I had a feeling that you were just kind of going with it, which made perfect sense because that already happened. Oh, yeah. You know, it was inside of the other creature. It made sense that it could be attuned to.
Yeah,
it's not like so something good. Mechanically hard. You can fit in, you know, the D&D mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can watch like the pro DM that Adam is, you'll see moments like where he goes like, so do you guys have something to discuss? Show us what that looks like. Scribble notes about thing that I'm
doing. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Like, buy me some time to finish getting ready for whatever this next dumb thing you're going to do and earn yourself some inspiration while we're doing it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Speaking of that, can I have inspiration?
Yes. Yeah. Everybody can have inspiration. Yes.
Nice.
Go ahead and just take it.
Yeah.
Because you have said yourself, you are notoriously like forgetful about
Did we
get inspiration? Everybody?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, fuck. It's not a good or clear mechanism to keep track of. So
I agree.
You all want to call each other out for it.
So. Yeah. It's easy to forget too. Especially when you're working, I mean, especially for you, trying to make sure everything else is working properly according to either what you had planned or pivoting to, you know, what decisions we're making, to remember also like, hey, you did good there. Here you go.
That's something that I'm glad it got brought up just now, that we can actually say like, I think Dan should give me inspiration for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will definitely be doing that because there have been a few times in the past where I'm like,
oh yeah, no. Feel free to suggest it because I can't constantly be reminded. Like, I'm paying attention. I'm listening to you guys do your thing, but I don't always think like, oh yeah, I need to remind you of the thing.
Yeah,
maybe we should do it in like our private like Skype chat or something, and not like do it in the game or whatever.
I think it's good to call it out in the middle of the thing to just be was cool. Like, let's give them the thing.
What if we made a mechanic and an extension for role play where it allows the chat to give the players inspiration? I see nothing wrong with that.
For $20.
Don't put power in chat at all, ever. Don't give chat any power.
Yeah, we'll get $20 and give Dan inspiration.
There you go. That's where it gets real good. Yeah. Yep.
Patreon level.
It's the spawn monsters.
Those games exist on Twitch if you want to watch them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very strange choice. There are ways that are good to like let the audience participate, and there are ways that totally tank the game. And I would go crazy if we did it that way.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for you guys, and in the same way, like, I mean, if you see chat getting really excited about a performance or a whatever, like, let me know. Be like, hey, maybe Zeke should get whatever. So you guys can act as their
liaison, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Can we just take a quick second to talk about the horror that Yoji constructed?
I'm fine that with was, it. I credit. I was like
describing.
Yeah, you the know, he's and all stuff. That. He's probably got some like some bad stuff in his brain somewhere. He could probably do this stuff. Yeah, so I'm glad with, or I'm perfectly fine with how that was described. That was great with the crit on the survival roll. He always crits the oddest stuff. Like he crit that strength roll in the drawer when we were in heaven. Max wasn't there for that episode, so he has no idea what I'm talking about. But nope. And then he crit the survival roll today. So that's the OG in a nutshell. So go ahead, Adam.
We've had a few of those things happen in Court of Swords where like a 1 or a 20 like embellishes the result. Like when Dan you were like, the gods suck, and like something about the Mara, and then I was like, okay, cool, the corpses come back to life and they try to kill you because of your blasphemy. And then like this one, you get a crit and it doesn't make too much of a difference, but I was just like, oh, of course, like Yoji just does a really like weirdly intensely good job at making a horrifying effigy out of these enemy corpses. Like to the point where you're like, good work, buddy, but please never do that again. I'm terrified of you.
Yeah. It made sense playing to that too. Like that he was, you know, emotionally distraught. So he just worked it out that way. Real focused on what he was doing. It's like when somebody goes cleaning, you know, a whole bunch when they're really frustrated in the house, except the opposite of that.
Right. Just throwing corpses around.
Yeah.
I had fun describing it to Kali.
Right. Yeah. That was another good scene for sure.
Stop describing it. I'm good. I got it.
Yeah.
I was going to keep going to him. Like, he's man of the feces.
I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention JP leaning in on the fucking chatter.
That shit triggered me, man.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we had salty D&D JP, and I like it. I was the whole time. Get him, get him, burn him down.
Yeah,
that's why I brought him right back.
Yeah, I think it was the mix of being up already 12 hours at the recording of the show and being super drained, and then some guy just said me off. I think the comment was something like it was something just so simple. It was just like, God damn it,
JP. It was JP GDI. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. And because I knew he was like, oh, JP's going to hurt his team because he thinks it's funny. Like that whole shtick that I've been getting for 5 years. And I was like, well, I'm triggered. Fuck this guy. And I just went off on him. So bad. I think the worst part about letters, that, though.
The statement was 5 letters long.
Right.
One sometimes.
Well, yeah. But all that does sometimes. Is it triggers 5 years of just bullshit that I've endured while playing D&D in front of an audience, right? It was definitely a very, a very open wound in that regard, for sure. But yeah, I think the worst part about that is not necessarily me ripping him apart. It's the fact that I think the mods usually ban people for that stuff. I need to tell him not to. Because that person didn't really do anything wrong, per se.
there's a thin line, right, where it's like, you were only kind of a little bit of a jerk, and I got upset about it, and like, yes, don't be a jerk, but like, it wasn't really a bannable offense. I'm pretty sure I saw them in the chat again later.
Okay, that's so good. That makes me feel a little bit better about it, for sure.
I'm actually excited to see, I love the flashback, but I want to see one, I really want to see Jadara. I want to see some Jadara backstory.
Oh yeah, yeah. When we get back to the
still a question mark.
Yeah,
yeah. When we get back to the cult proper, you'll have a chance to kind of like interact with some NPCs and kind of have some more RP scenes with them, and we'll learn some more about what Yoji is up to and Jadara's place in that.
Yeah,
that scheme. Yeah, JP and I've been talking about kind of the cult and their stuff the last little while. So.
Yeah, the whole reason for the wagon scene at the end was ultimately like during the break, I was like, man, I forgot that like 2 episodes ago that I knocked out Cully and I like, we never went back to that scene. And so I was like, we should go back and revisit that and at least like flesh it out. So it makes sense. And originally it was going to be like, you were going to wake up in the cult, but I think everything that was going to happen there will eventually happen later. Once we get back. So then I was just like, well, maybe we've already been, and this is us going to meet Jadara for the mission. And I hope those timelines lined up. Like I kind of forget.
Like The thing is, like they're pretty loose, and since we've moved around a little bit, I'm not too concerned about it. I have a pretty good idea of what's happened when and how okay. that goes.
So. Yeah, because I think at the beginning of this arc, we stated that we just kind of started in the tomb. I'm not sure if we met up somewhere, so that's why I left it kind of open ended.
Yeah, I think it's established that the group of you minus Shadrach like had met prior, and had been serving the cult, but we hadn't worked out the exact details of what that looks like.
Maybe we'll I don't know. Maybe I'll get with Dan and plan like a flashback to when either me and when Yoji and Jadara were either friends or had just met or something like that. Like plan a quick flashback scene. That would be kind of fun to start next episode off with. We'll see.
We're down with that.
Yeah.
With the way you guys play off each other, I'm so intrigued. It's such a, such an old relationship that we know nothing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I need to get with Dan to see, because like you mentioned, it's an old relationship, but it could be like a really old relationship, but I don't know that much about Jadara, so I need to see like how far back that person goes in terms of actual age. So I don't know. Definitely interested to see how it goes. We'll see. What were we gonna say, Max?
Oh no, I was just saying, like, anytime there's like that sort of dynamic where they're old friends or whatever, whether it be something that we've seen happen through just like characters being around for a long time, or just, you know, implied relationship status or whatever, it's always nice to get those like little morsels of lore when you get them.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, that's what's, like the moment for me, because I don't know anything about Jadara or anything like that as a player and also a character. So it's like, oh, okay. So this is how the cult stuff. Okay, cool. And it just gets me excited for that. Me and I'm sure the viewers gets me excited to just hear more.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun. Dan, last question I have, and then we'll wrap up this vid. Did you anticipate me pushing back on you and like siding with the cult in the way that I did? Or was that like, how did you expect that to play out? Or did it play out the way that you expected it to?
I had no expectations. I just let you do what you did.
Okay.
I just did what Jadara would do based on my concept of her and why she's there and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I think that worked out.
Makes sense.
I definitely was into this idea of you like being really stern and like focused on your way in one of the scenes, and like the very next scene after the fight, like trying to be super friendly to Shadrach afterwards. And like, yeah.
It's what she does, is she gets what she wants slowly over time by covering people up, and because of her past story, which we'll get into at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That was it's noticeable, which is cool. It's cool to see that stuff. So
she does like having pet projects like Calamot to try to wean him and make him a strong little boy again.
Yeah, and totally.
The way she trying to make the blind a strength at some point.
Mm-hmm. It's good. In terms of the overlay stuff, we had a couple of issues throughout the show, but for the most part. Yeah, the multi-class stuff, that there's some major tuning going this week into next week, so we'll get the multi-class stuff figured out, but for the most part, the roles were fine. Like, there's a couple things, like, some of the new spells that get added get bypassed on the filter, and sometimes when, like, a bunch of things happened in the back end in terms of Adam changing stuff, the rest of the program is just kind of like, you're throwing way too much shit at me, and I'm breaking. Yeah. Like, we're not going to be able to function anymore.
Are the health bars supposed to automatically update if you change the HP back to like full?
Yes. I was like, they didn't change at the end though, because they broke.
I figured it probably was just, not working properly.
Yeah. But. Like, if I'm sure if Adam like spun it up, as we say, that the HP bars would resettle. But
every time you say spin it up, I'm imagining Adam's pedaling under the desk like the power some device.
Yeah. Spin it up. Hold on, guys. Spin up the drive.
It's one of the things that we're going to change, is that all of it kind of like, that's the beginning of the very process, is that Adam kind of has to wake the game up so that all the scripts start running and it sees everything. And I think Barry's putting in some scripts where that won't be kind of the genesis of everything. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully that gets put in next week. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny when you say spin up, because I think of Adam with like a big like predator style minigun that has to spin a little bit before it starts shooting.
That's also like a warp drive or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say for me, since they've been playing Farberona, it just means like a warp drive or something.
Yeah, that's what I always think of too.
That's also true. Also, your camera like fixed now. I don't know.
It's so it always happens when we go to break, and it's always better by the end of the show. And I do not know what it is. It's not a bandwidth thing, because I check every time and it's always the same. It's always good. So what
else? Never go to break. Breaks are gone now.
Yeah, I guess we're just not taking breaks 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's so weird.
I don't know. Are you running anything else on that computer with the program?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the only thing I was thinking of. Maybe it's something on his end that was like running in the background that wasn't before.
No, and it's know. And the it's funny thing is like it, with Far Verona, it's the same all the way through. So
what are you using to cast your camera?
It's going straight into VMix. And I'm using the camera into a mage well.
Like for instance, I use XSplit. You're not using like an XSplit or something? Or
no. Mine goes right into. I have the VMix software. Yeah,
right.
App, and it pulls it up.
If it continues, I mean, maybe try throwing it into something like XSplit, because I have minimal problems.
We've done the XSplit, like it's, feed it through XSplit. Still.
It's just a bandwidth issue.
It's so weird.
It might be the port that this thing uses. Adam might have to unblock the port. I don't know. It doesn't matter too much because the audio is fine. It's just people like start bringing up the camera stuff and it gets a little annoying week after week. But
today we got a great reaction shot out of Adam, and I'm glad I got
it. That's true. Yeah. Thank you for that, Max. Yep. It was good.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's a good one.
Yep, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Court of Swords. Hope to see you guys there. Thanks so much for all your support. TriCaster gets here tomorrow, which is Wednesday. I don't know if you're watching this video live, or I guess Tuesday night. It'll be here tomorrow, but Wednesday for everyone else. So I'll probably record some footage of, I guess, me opening that box. I don't know what that's going to look like. So we shall see. I hope it gets here all safe and sound. I got really scared, by the way, small side story. Because the people, so like the company that I bought it from, they gave me a tracking number, and I like, oh, okay, let's see where it's at. And I like put the tracking number in, and it was like, yeah, this doesn't exist. And I was like, did I get scammed? Like, is this a giant, did I just get scammed out of a lot of money? It's like, oh no, I pasted you the wrong fucking tracking number. Here it actually is. So crisis averted.
Yeah. But
anyways, it'll be here tomorrow. And I'll probably record some stuff with it. So that's it. See you guys next time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody.